At the mentioning of your name, every knee bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. We pray, committing this atmosphere into thy hands. I pray that let your power take dominion, let your power take charge, let your power take custody of this environment. Let the environment and the atmosphere be affected and infected by your supernatural. Let the bound be loose, let the cripple walk, and let the blind begin to see. Let the troubled receive joy and comfort. That at the end of this service, we'll have a cause to say, Father, we thank you. We bless you for your goodness. In Jesus' mighty name, somebody shout a big amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Amen. I want us to be very attentive. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, which 14 downward, which is a very, very long reading. Amen. The Bible said, and I read in the book of Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 to 30. And so, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servant and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several abilities. And straight away took his journey. Then he that had received 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that has received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those 7 cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done. Say to your neighbor, well done. Thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He who has also received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he that has received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not stored. And I was afraid. Tell your neighbor, don't be afraid. And went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lord, thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I have not sown, and gathered where I have not stored. Thou wouldest therefore to have put my money to the exchanger. And that at my coming I should have received my own, with usury. Take therefore the talents from him, and give it unto him which has 10 talents. For unto everyone that has shall be given, and to he shall have abundance, but from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he has. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I want you to look at the face of your neighbor and say, neighbor, we're talking about commitment to consistency. Say to your neighbor, be consistent, but be committed. Amen. And when I was coming here, I'm hoping to finish this series today. I was just reflecting upon, I was just reflecting upon the dimensions of the fact that the Master said, thou good and perfect servant, you know, that's an explanation there. And a thought came to mind, good is not good until it becomes good. Tell your neighbor, good is not good until it becomes good. Oh, come on, come on. Somebody is not talking properly. Say, neighbor, good is not good until it becomes good. I don't know. Last week when I came, I settled down with one phrase somewhere. And I don't know. I feel like preaching about this, but I'll hold on now. Amen. Good is never good until it becomes good. What does it mean? It means that good doesn't automatically happen. For you to do something, for somebody to affirm and confirm that this is good, it doesn't just happen. If you want to be a good husband, it doesn't just what happen. If you want to be a good wife, it doesn't what just happen. It's those of you who think that it happened by happenstance, it doesn't just happen. It happened because it was made to happen. When God created the earth, the Bible said, and he said that let there be light, and he saw that it was what? It was good. It was good because he made it good. Good doesn't just happen. Good things are not just in town. It doesn't just occur. It was made. When you look at the iPhone properly, the iPhone is a very good phone. Why? Because somebody spent time to make it good. It is not good because it is an iPhone. You will never become a good student because you went to school. If you want to be, everybody can become a student, but not all can become good student. Praise the Lord. Everybody can be a student, but not all can be what? A good student. Everybody can be a husband, not all of them shall be a husband, shall be a good husband. All of us can be a wife, not including me, I mean the woman. Hallelujah. Somebody will quote me, Pastor said, if all of us, Pastor is a wife, amen. I'm a husband, amen. And glory be to God that I'm a father. Come on, say your neighbor, he is a father. If there is a father beside you, give him a high five and say, God bless you for being a father. Come on, come on, come on. I see some woman tapping another woman. I don't know what it means. Come on, neighbor. Come on, tap your father sitting beside you and say, Father, I thank God for your life. Amen. Good can never become good until you make it become good. You will not have good children until you make them become children good. You will not get children who can play instrument. Everybody can play the instrument. Everybody can play the keyboard, but not all of us can play in a good tune. I promise you, sometimes when I sit behind the keyboard, what I play, I wonder how people can sit behind the same thing and make it what, sound better. What does it mean? It means that there is something you have laid your hands on and you think it is not good. But if you spend time on it, you will change it and you will see how good it is. Some of you are worshiping God. You have not yet come to the point to appreciate and to understand the power and the potency of God. But I pray that today you identify the goodness in everything you are doing. We started with the word constancy, and we said constancy is the reliability and the uniformity of what? Of successive result or event. We also concluded that for something to happen to be good, it must have the impact of compound effect. Is the accumulation, the compilation of something that have been done compoundedly in a way to produce something good. I want to get, there are times I want to be, I will not, you know, sometimes some things can never manifest until there is continuity. If you begin to go to the gym, there are some pain you are going through because you stop. There are some times, I remember when I started, I was so passionate, I saw a nice look of a six-pack of a gentleman and the way he was showing his bicep, his tricep, and all the set. And I said, I'll start going to the gym. I registered, I paid £100 thinking that the £100 was enough to compel me to go to the gym. I went one, twice, three, four, five, and I back out. Why? Because there wasn't any consistency. When I went the first time and I trained, I felt pain all over my body. And that pain was not an indication that what I was doing was wrong, but it was just giving me a signal that there is a better thing coming. But sometimes when you begin to train and you start feeling pain, you stop. Tell your neighbor, don't stop. Sometimes before you can get the biceps, some of us, we haven't got six pack. We have one pack and we have one pack. If you have six, we haven't got six. We have one. We are content with what we have. Amen. Tell your neighbor, take what you have anyway. So last week, I spoke about the fact that before we can be good, before we can see things happen in our life, there is a need for us to receive counsel. The Bible talks about the scripture we just read in Matthew chapter 25. The master said that he gave talent to his own servant, which means that he has imparted something, he has transmitted something, he has transported something into their DNA, and he never left them in ignorance, but he has been with them and he has taught them something. And what he has taught them is called counsel. They've received counsel. And the first point we talk about here is that before you can be consistent, before you can be productive, before you can come to the point to be called good and faithful, it means that you have to be able to receive counsel. Good things never happen. We don't have good people. We have people who have received good counsel. The person you see, Bill Gates, is the richest person, not because when he was born, God made him to be great like he is. It was because he was able to locate himself around good counsel, and that is what made him what he are. And sometimes when I look back upon a very handsome man like Michael Jackson, when he was very young, he had all he takes, but because of wrong counsel, maybe he might have got himself into something that when he looked back, he would have said, if I had known, I wouldn't have changed. We had a lot of women doing plastic surgery, and at the end of the day, sometimes when they finish, they regret. So if you want to be good and you want to be somebody who is worth recommending, then it means that you have to receive counsel. Tell your neighbor, get counsel. So if you want to be a good wife, if you want to be a good child, you want to be a good student, you have to be able to listen to good counsel. And I pray that today God will give you good counsel. The second point I want you to come to understand with me, apart from receiving counsel, there is something I call commitment. If you want to be good with something, you have to be committed to it. Commitment is a state of happiness. The word I want to say is the word contentment. Say contentment. The reason why the servant got up and didn't use his talent is that because he was not content. And sometimes you keep on looking around you because of other factors I will talk about in a few minutes. Contentment, a state of happiness and satisfaction. If you are not content with what you have, you will never use it. Some of you are not appreciating your wife, your husband, your children because you are looking at somebody's, and that somebody's you are looking at, it went with the price they have paid for it. You have to be happy with what you have and begin to work upon it. You may not have it all, but you have something. The man who had one talent has forgotten that there may be others who have got nothing. But he might have been capitalizing on the fact that he has got little. If you want to be great and you want to be called good, then God must bring you to the point of contentment. The word contentment has got synonyms, and one of them is so remarkable that one of them is sadness, unhappiness, dissolution, joylessness, dejection, depression, aggravation, annoyance, agitation, distress, disturbance, upset, discomfort. Oh my God. Haven't you ever met people on happiness? There are people who are not happy. I promise you, if all of us were to put our problems in our envelope and put it down here, you will notice that yours could be better. You will have to pick yours back. Praise the Lord. You must be content with what you have. If you are going to be productive, you have to be content. One, you must listen to counsel. Secondly, you have to be content. You may not be able to play like other people. This young ones here, when they started playing, how many of you remember when they started playing? I remember. Praise the Lord. When they started playing, if you sing a song that they don't know, you will sing your own song. But consistency and commitment and dedication and content with the fact that this is what we have to use it. The Bible said in the book of Philippians chapter 4 verse 11 to 13, it said, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means. And I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstances, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, and both of having abundant and suffering need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What you must be content. Don't say, I don't have it. I remember a few, let me give you a few examples. I remember there was a time I visited somebody. Excuses is a killer. Tell your neighbor, excuses is a killer. Anybody who is not content with the little, you can never be content with more. It doesn't matter what you get. When you give the person one envelope, he will look around and see if there are two. And if you don't give the person two, he will complain. The following day, if you give him two, he will look around. If there is three, he will complain. Those who are not content, they are always complaining. I remember when I realized that exercising is good, and I said I want to exercise. Amen. How many of you know exercising is good? I know it, but not all of us are doing it. Amen. Why am I talking about exercise today? And I visited, I said, I have to run and go outside the cold and run. I said, no, it's a bottle. And I visited one of the members, and I saw him on the treadmill just running. And I said, if I have this machine in my house, there is no way every morning and every evening I will not be exercising. It was just a matter of time. When my wife bought one, we just started. We went on it the first day, second day, third day. I don't know where it is right now. We are never content. The point is that there is an obligation. There is a standard we need to achieve. But if we are not content with what has been given to us, we can't be productive. Every now and then you keep on looking around. If you are not content, contentment is that which causes you to make way for what you really want. In 1 Peter chapter 6, verse 6 to 7, it said, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. It is what? But godliness with contentment is a gain. Contentment is a gain. If you don't have it, I promise you, if this one should see some folks who play the keyboard in elsewhere, they will be discouraged by what they see. When I'm preaching down here and I begin to compare myself with others of high standard, I may not be able to do what God is asking me to do. Why? Because I keep on looking too high and comparing myself. God knows what you can do, and he gave you exactly what you need, because the Bible says he gave it to them according to their abilities. If you know how to sing and God has called you to sing, you don't have to fabricate excuses, but you have to be able to make yourself available in order to be committed to all. Consistency. Good doesn't just happen. In Job chapter 36 verse 11, it said, if they obey and serve him, they will spend the rest of their days in prosperity and their years in what? In contentment. Contentment is a productive word. If you lack contentment, you are unproductive. You are never content with what is done. If your wife prepares soup and there is some, you have to be content. If you want it, you know when... Yesterday I went I went with my daughter, and we went to this, they went to do some, they were running around, And I promise you, my daughter was not the first. She wasn't the first among the first 10. But when she was running, I was behind her. And I said, come on, go on, go on. The position she was is not something too good, but at least for her to be able to finish. He said, Daddy, are you proud of me? I said, yes, I'm content. There are people, if you are not content with them, it discourages them. The reason why you have not experienced greatness is that you are not content with what you have. Tell your neighbor, be content. I don't know, we can come here and give excuses that as a matter of fact, if you don't have enough, you have to work extra. I remember when I was in school, my friends could study for about, a friend of mine can study for 15 minutes and everything will be in his head. Every item there will be in his head. But 15 minutes of him make room for him to accomplish everything he's learning. But I didn't have that capacity. I didn't have that grace. But I have to be content with the brain given to me. If he spent 15 minutes, I spend like 3 hours. That is what will get me what I want. I spend that time on it. You can't say that it's because I remember when I was in secondary school, there was a friend of mine who's I was a bit not too my parents were a bit good to, you know, they were all right. So when I'm coming to school and they give me like £100, this friend of mine, parents wouldn't give him £100, they would give him like £20. And what I did was that I take the £100 and I picked £20 and I put it into my pocket and saved the £80. It was in Ghana City, so it's just an example. This friend of mine will finish his £20 and tell me because I have £100, that is why I still have money. But he doesn't know that I took £20 out of my money, out of my abundance, and I use it as a standard so that we will all be at the same level. But he will spend his and always capitalize on the fact that because I have more, that is how why I have it. You must be content, and if it takes you to study day and night, if it takes you to fast and pray, if you are in that family, it doesn't matter the state of it. All you need to do is that you must fight because His grace is sufficient for you. You didn't say amen properly. Come on, somebody. If you are waiting to give excuses of what you don't have, it will surprise you to know that many people in Africa will say that if we were in this country, we're going to achieve the best because this country, you don't pay fees. Yes, it's true, we don't pay fees. But there are some things we don't have here, we have in Africa. And there are some things we have in Africa, we don't have it here. We can't have it all. If you want to be good and you want to be called good and faithful servant, we must become that which God wants us to become by whatsoever necessary according to His counsel. Praise the Lord. The disciples went back to fishing. When they were given a mandate to wait in Jerusalem, they went back to fishing. Why? Because we didn't have Jesus with us. Because we didn't have this. Because I don't have this, that is why I don't pay my tithe. Because I don't do this, that is why I'm not able to give. I promise you, you will never be able to give until you decide to be content with what you have. We can give excuses that we haven't got a place of worship. We have 30 minutes to set this place up. We have a choice to become bad. Let's, for lack of vocabulary, let's use the word bad. Is it a good or bad? We can decide to be cushioning ourselves and say, because 30 minutes is too much of a short time. I saw the technical team coming here on Saturday, spending about 5 hours constantly. About 2-3 weeks ago, they were here for about 3 hours, 5 hours. And sometimes in the middle of the night, they'll be still here. Why? Because they are trying to do with what they have. Every time you are giving excuses, it doesn't just happen. Good things doesn't just happen. Praise the Lord. The third point, apart from receiving counsel, apart from being content with what you have, these things I'm teaching, I want you to understand that we want to make it part of this ministry. We want to make it all part of this ministry. We want to make it become part of the fabric of this ministry. The third point is that take a risk with your gift. Take a risk. You have to take a risk. There is no, it doesn't matter. When God told Moses to go to Egypt, I promise you, there was an iota of doubt that could be triggering somewhere. It may not be complete doubt, but there is an item of, if I go and he doesn't do what he said he would do, what will happen to me? Praise the Lord. You must be able to take risks. Risk that I'm talking about is not just any ordinary, any ordinary risk, but risk taken within the confinement of the Word of God. What empowers a believer is the risk we take that have been embedded within the fabric of what I call faith. The Bible said faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's a faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In Romans chapter 10 verse 17. So we must be able to acclimatize our mindset. We have to be able to come to the point of conscientiousness that God, I want to place my mind under you, and I am ready to take a risk. When the prophet said to the woman, I want you to prepare me meal, let me eat. Then afterwards you prepare for yourself. The woman was taking a risk. But a risk taken in God is a wet cost of what? Of risk. Praise the Lord. In the course of adventuring the things of God and what God has mentioned to us, we must be able to understand that disappointment may come our way, but we have to rise beyond them. There is no amount of excuse that will qualify you to be good. Come on, listen to this. There is no amount, if you are unproductive, there is only one place for you. You are unprofitable. It is either you are profitable or unprofitable. If you sit and put your hands in between your thighs and do nothing about your situation and rise up, he said the righteous shall fall 7 times, but yet he will rise again. Hallelujah. I remember some of you, you are in the house, you are not fasting and praying. I remember there were times the Lord asked me to fast and pray, and I go to work, and it's not just an ordinary work, a very tedious, dealing with very, very challenging student. And sometimes by the time I finish the fast, I will get headache. Sometimes by the time I finish, when you are fasting and praying, there are times you easily get aggravated. There are times you easily get annoying. There are times that things trickling in your heart, in your mind, and in your soul. And sometimes you have to be able to bring it under subjection. And sometimes I feel like saying to myself, when I get a time when I'm off from work, and then when I'm off from work, there are so many things I have to do. Then at the end of the day, I'm not fasting, I'm not praying. And God said to me, if you are not content with what you have, you're going to lose it because you did nothing to be progressive. If what you have, you do nothing to be progressive, gradually there will be diminishing returns, and what you even have will be taken from you. I pray this day that whatever God has given to you will never be taken from you. We must be able to take a risk. Tell your neighbor, take a risk. In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, it said that, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You must believe. It is a prerequisite. It is a substratum of that which determines whether you are a believer or not. You must understand that before you can please God, you must believe. It is a requirement. Tell your neighbor, it is a requirement. Because if you want to please him, you must be able to believe him. You can't sit and be a Christian and say you are not a believer. You must believe him for the things that he's mentioned to you. Hallelujah. Commitment to all. Consistency. In Matthew chapter 20, let me just skip this. We will never be appreciated until we begin to take risks for higher results. If we want to make this ministry become the kind of ministry we're looking for, then we must be able to be bold enough to take risks. Taking risks is a great sacrifice. Cain and Abel rendered sacrifice unto God, which is a risk. And every now and then, when you hear the voice of God and you begin to take the voice of God, when God told Abraham, I want you to move from your father's house to a place I, the Lord, I will show you, there are times what God said wouldn't make sense. When you want to walk with God, you have been called into the ministry of madness. Because anybody who is mad is somebody who can make sense. He's logically inclined. But if you want to see the glory of God in your life, you must be ready to take a risk. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All of us are risk takers. The money you have here, how could you work so tirelessly and put your money in the bank? Even to some of us, we don't even know the managers of the bank. But we are so bold enough that we can confine our money into their hands. The obviousity of faithfulness is a manifestation of consistency. For you to, when you see faithfulness, you see consistency. Somebody who is faithful is diligent. And these are the things that makes greatness. Greatness is a process. And those of us who think that it just happened, it never happened. We go through strong and tired moments in our life, but we don't give up. Why? Because when somebody is faithful, consistency is obvious. Praise the Lord. I said, in constancy, we notice dependability, which means that when somebody is consistent, we are able to depend on the person. The reason why we are not dependable is that we don't exhibit the signs of consistency. The signs of consistency is better in faithfulness. If you want to move forward as a ministry, if you want to move forward in your finances, if you want to move forward in your education, you must be consistent. There was a time we were talking to one of my students who was in year seven, And I said to the student, I said, you know what? If the same way you are behaving in year seven, you can keep the fire like that. You can keep the constancy of this behavior and get yourself into year 11. You will be successful. They come in humble, patient, obedient, law-abiding. By the time they go through the series of years, they begin to change to something that has no, it's not accurate. It's not the same as what they started with. Consistency is a price you pay. I told some of my friends that I'm on a diet. I'm on a slimming course. They said, when I say that they laugh, they said, which one are you taking off? Hallelujah. I met a man this morning when I was picking my wife from work. He said, I just waved at him and he came to me straight away and he said, Are you married, husband? I said, yes. So are you the one who have been preaching on the podcast? I said, yes. So, oh no, you can't be that one. I'm thinking of somebody huge, tall, and very, you know, the vocal of the person is deep voice and sound. I said, oh, don't worry. You are looking for Saul. I'm David. Don't worry. Don't worry, you are looking for Saul. I'm not Saul, I'm David. Praise the Lord. How did it happen? It happened because we paid the price. You sit here and say you have nothing. You have something in your hand. God will never leave you empty-handed. There is something in your hand that carries your potency, that carries your destiny. I may not be able to do some things, but when you do what I can do that I've been given to me by grace, you will know that you have really touched something of God. Praise the Lord. The fourth point before we go. The first one is what? Listen to what? Counsel. Oh, come on. Are you not with me? The first point is what? Listen to what? Counsel. The second point is what? The third point is what? The fourth one is do not be jealous. Tell your neighbor, don't not be jealous. I look at many ministries outside, and sometimes I ask myself, how can it be that I am here like this? In other ministries, they get people who walk into their house, into the church, and they can play instrument, and they can do this, and they can do this. And I'm not supposed to be jealous of them. All these children you see here, I don't know why, but some people, you just get them. They just jump into your house. Example is David. When you're a minister and you are, one of the things my spiritual father coach told me, he taught me, he said that David was given different levels of resources. David was introduced to many men. One of the men, David will be fighting in a constant way. Therefore, God released people into his life who were already warriors. And the Bible said they could fight with both their left and right. They were released into the life of David. There are times in the ministry God will provide you with the already made people. People who have already gone through pruning, have already gone through process, but they have their own challenges to deal with them. Praise the Lord. Keep on playing something for me. You don't need to be jealous. I remember, I've said it before, there was a lady who loved her husband very well, but one time he saw their neighbor. The husband came out of the car and just moved to the driver's, the passenger side, and just opened the door for the wife. And this lady have been watching and saying, why is it my husband can't open the door for me every time when I get out of the car? Look at what is called marriage. Beautiful. When they did investigation, they got to know that the only way you can open that door is from the outside. Hey, you don't know. Tell your neighbor, you don't know. You don't know the pain I'm going through. Don't be deceived by the smile on my face. When I come to church, don't think, oh, it's all right, but I'm fighting. I'm not jealous. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, this is a promise to somebody. In the King James, it says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lie at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. In the King James, that is what it says. In the Amplified, it said, if you do well, if you do well, believing me and doing what is acceptable and pleasing to me, will you not be accepted? If you do not do well, but ignore my instructions, sin crouches at your door. Its desire is for you to overpower you, but you must master it. Praise the Lord. What does it mean? If you do the same thing, the Bible says God appeared to Solomon two times. In two instances. As I'm reading the Bible, I've seen two. The first one is when he rendered sacrifice unto God on the mount. When he offered thousands of bullocks, thousands of sacrifice, in the middle of the night, God appeared to him and said, Solomon, ask me whatever you want. Sacrifice will bet a door open for you. The second time was when he finished the temple. Some of you, you want certain doors to open for you, but you don't want to take the risk that others took. There are no special people, rather, they are faithful men and women, boys and girls. My Bible said in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 8 downward, the Bible said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not despair. Persecuted, not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Christ might be made manifested in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. If we want to follow Jesus, if we want to follow God, we must come to the point to understand that if we want to be constant, if we must be committed to consistency, we must rely on the word of God. We must be committed and we must be content. I came here to tell somebody under the sound of my voice, maybe you may not have 5 talents, maybe you may not have 2 talents, maybe you have 1 talent in your house, but I came here to tell somebody under the sound of my voice that God wants you to be good. I want you to tap your neighbor and say to your neighbor, God wants you to be good. I don't know how long you have been down, but the Bible says straight away, he that has been given the talent, my Bible said he went straight away without any hesitation or reservation, without any distraction whatsoever. If you sit down and not get on with what God asks you to do, something will come and distract you. It is time to get up and get up and get up and get up and do what God is asking you to do. If God told you to join the choir, it doesn't matter the difficulty, the challenges. Tell yourself, yes, Lord. If Mary said, may it be unto me according to thy word. I don't know who you are, but commitment, it is not something that comes lightly. And commitment to consistency, it comes with taking risk. It comes with long suffering. It comes with endurance. It comes with perseverance. It comes with a level of resilience. I am yet to tell you, anything that is bad in your life, it's changing to good. I said everything in your life that is not good is changing for your good. If you will humble yourself, my Bible said, Daniel chapter 3 verse 16 to 18, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If our God does not even deliver us, we shall not bow. God is looking for people who are radical and saying to themselves, we are constant with God. Our relationship is affirmed and confirmed and consolidated in confidence. He said, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. He said, is it persecution? Is it famine? Nothing shall separate us. God is calling the church. He said, if you want to be hot, be hot. If you want to be cold, be cold. He said, but if you want to be in between, he will spew you out. I prophesy into your life that when the master comes, he will call you good in the name of Jesus. I can't hear you. I said, whatsoever you have laid your hands on, the spirit that makes you dig the ground, today it is killed by fire. I said, whatever makes you put your talent in the ground, today it has been put into the hell pit in the name of Jesus. I prophesy into your life that whatever is making you not to be good, today may God deal with it for you. I say, may God deal for it for you. You shall not die. You shall be called good and faithful servant. I pray that every deficiency that causes you not to qualify to be good today, receive empowerment. Today, your wife shall become good. Your children shall become good. Your finances shall become good. Everything you touch shall be made good. Come on, stand on your feet and tap your neighbor and say, it is good. Put your hands together for Jesus. I want you to lift up your hands. I know it's time, but I'm tired of sitting down and not seeing increase in my life. I am tired of working day and night, and every now and then I don't see doors open for me. But tonight, you want to lift up your hands. Say, my God, my Father, everything in my life. Come on, come on, come on. Give me 2 minutes. Say, my life that have become a partition, a disturbance, an hindrance that hesitates us into the fabric of goodness. Father, today move our family into goodness. I pray today the spirit of constancy, may we be committed to it. We pray against every distraction whatsoever, that the grace of God abound upon our life, that we shall see your goodness in our life, that at the end of the day, when you appear in every situation we find ourselves, anybody who is ahead of us, it be at our workplace, it be in our marriages, it be in our finances, every part we find ourselves, may we be called good in the name of Jesus. We give you praise in the name of Jesus. Shall we say the grace?